help solve a mystery. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're the Stack Pack. What's up, guys? Today we're covering Season 5, Episode 11 of the original stuff. The OG. No Farina here. No cars. you can see it on Amazon, IMDb, TV, YouTube, all that shit. Tubi, I don't know, throw some other ones out there. It's on CISO and Quibi.
Those don't exist. It's on MySpace.
Those don't exist.
I posted it up on Facebook.
At this point, seriously.
You can see it on Instagram.
There's a whole channel on fucking Pluto, I think. You can just watch it 24/7. That might be harder to follow the podcast, though. But yeah, so there's a lot of case today. I'm joined by myself, Eli, as always. Dan is joining us.
I got my cooler with me today.
Oh, cool. So you don't have to get up. Dan is joining us briefly.
I'm going
to
pee in it.
Via teleconferencing. Well, we're all teleconferencing, but he won't sound as nice because he's calling from his hotel in Florida.
Yeah. Florida man.
How's it going, Dan?
Good. Doing good.
How's sunny Florida?
Hot. Very hot. Very humid. And it's not even July.
Well, thanks.
And he's just talking about himself. That's not the temperature in Florida.
I'm looking at him. He's glowing. It's just wet. He's like, you're like some of the wrestlers that you're going to light.
Yeah, he's all oily, oiled up.
So he's going to join us just for the intro so we can kind of give a rundown of what we're going to talk about. And we're joined by, I don't know if you can tell, you could fan favorite. You could hear his low, docile Staten Island tones. Docile? Maybe not docile, right?
A little docile. The right word.
Dorsal fin.
Or like subdued, right? Docile? That's a word. Anyway, Dan Derwin's here.
Subdued.
Word, but I don't think that's the right word.
Yeah. Look it up. I'm correct. No, whatever. So we're hanging out. We're going to watch the, we're going to talk. I don't tell you what we're going to fucking do. What's funny though is we didn't have a little mix up. Luckily, Dan is an Unsolved Mysteries super fan. Like we always talk about. He watched the wrong episode today.
He's more pro than we are.
But,
I watched the wrong one.
Yeah, but he's going to – but as soon as we brought up the cases, he knew exactly what we were talking about. So
it's good. I got a couple cheat notes, but I do remember most of these cases.
Basics.
So I think I should be okay. And you should see all the notes that I wrote for the one that does not matter.
Oh, yeah. And you didn't even do one that's ahead. Like, we already did it.
Can we just cover that episode again?
Or you know what?
Plug me into that episode, and then I'll dub me into that one. I'll give my
notes. Let's redo it.
Anyway, so today we're talking about a missing person, this young American drifter with a terrible wig. Any thoughts on that, Dan, before we let you go?
Tell us your thoughts about the wig.
Oh, he has lots of words to say about the wig. But tonight you guys will be covering the missing case of Becky Terry, a friend of Judy Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Gordon Collins, who just went to Mexico and just lost himself.
Yeah, literally.
Like we all do.
And then I swear to God, this is a Lifetime movie. I spent the entire day trying to find out what movie it is. But the case of Elizabeth Ortiz, who tries to murder or is an attempted murderer.
So,
I don't want to go too far into it.
So you're just remembering... You're just remembering that this movie exists? It's not like something that you saw while looking it up?
I know this movie exists because I remember watching it with my mom, like in the late 90s, like 97, 98 on like Lifetime.
Yeah.
Is the actress better than the one on Unsolved Mysteries?
Oh, that's my biggest question. The acting is insane. But then you're like, how conscious is she because she's lying? She's lying in the fucking thing. She's supposed to be lying.
God. This is this huge, like ungodly huge, like plastic, big, bright green, like Mondo cup
thermos,
like a straw. Yeah, it's not even a I guess it would be a thermos, like from the 80s.
Well,
but it was like one of those, it looked like a big gulp, not like the thermos that he had in the reenactment. And it was just like I just remember like seeing like the jug and just being like, that's a lot of liquid.
Oh, he drinks so much. All right, we'll get into it.
It's a thirsty man.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I cut off there for a second, but I couldn't tell if the acting was deliberate because she's supposed to be lying. The actor is playing someone who's lying badly.
I've seen other people lie on this show, and that's fucking terrible. Come on.
Yeah, it was bad acting.
Jonathan.
So anyway, let's talk a little bit about, we won't go too much into this first case. It's about a girl who, they talk about polio and how terrible it was. So we're in the 50s, and so Judy Davis, not the character, the great character actress, but Judy Davis had, was stricken with polio when she was little, and she starts middle school in 1956. So she's the only disabled girl at her school.
That's gotta
suck.
And she
meets this girl named Becky Terry, who's the only one that's nice to her. She has to overcome a lot. You know, her dad has to walk up the stairs. They didn't have railing. Her dad has to pick her up and take her up the stairs.
She was saying like that, like normally back in the day, like when you got diagnosed with polio, like that was, it was kind of like a death sentence. It's like, oh, like we're just going to send them off to a nursing home because, you know, they're immobile.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And the mom wouldn't have that, right?
Yeah. Her family wouldn't have that. They're like, no, like, yeah, she has a physical disability, but, you know, that's no reason why she can't live a normal life as a child. So they kind of pushed her and encouraged her to, you know, not accept her disability as just a disability, but more as a challenge. They always push her to, like, you know, to always try things. And she said, like, at when she got out of the car, she would have been able to get up the stairs if it was only, if they only had handrails, she could have done it. So ultimately she resided with the fact that she had to let her dad carry her up the stairs.
Yeah. That's why her dad used to always also make her mow the lawn.
And she signed up for volleyball. I saw that episode. It was a side segment, B-side.
Dude, can we talk about the two-timing bastard that they both dated?
Oh, see, that's my problem with this segment. It's like, okay, it's a cute story. The girl's nice to her and she wants to find the girl and reunite with her. Why do we have to get all these side plots of her and her boyfriend and how they traded boys and
she how they jerked went to him the under movies. A tree and the other one
she jerked him under the
kissed
tree.
Kissed him on the neck.
Yeah.
She
got really graphic towards the end. She's like, well, I jerked.
It was awful. I had to hit mute. My dog was in the room.
Jerked him under the tree.
I didn't want my dog to hear.
Oh my God.
Like, my poor dog.
Julie. Jesus, Julie.
Judy. Dude, the acting of this segment was a lot better than the last one because the kids, they look.
The little girl
absolutely
good.
Look disgusted when she comes out. When she comes out of the.
You're
vehicle,
right. They're like, looking at her like. They're so judgy.
Great acting.
Dude.
That was real grilling.
The sass. Yeah. There was this one boy whose look like tore through my soul. I was like, what?
Yeah. The
why
one
are
next
you looking
to
at me that way?
Yeah. I don't have polio.
Anyway. So the case is basically, yeah, that's it. Like, you know, we're not going to go too much into it, you know. And it's the ending sucks because apparently they do, you know, reunite, but not on the episode. Derwin,
I'm so mad they didn't show it.
Derwin, you said once you get to the actual episode where the update actually happened, they usually have longer versions of the updates, but you said that you get to hear it?
Yeah, they did like a phone call. They had a three-way phone call and not just a three-way like they did when they were kids. It was the two girls and
they were both the jerking them under the tree.
Yeah. It was
disgusting. And one of the boys?
Adults.
Oh, yeah, you said it was one of
like
the boys,
they were sharing
too.
A receiver?
Yeah. Wow. One of them was on a rotisserie.
Yeah,
I think it was
David.
Him.
David Major. There's pictures. Perfect.
They're like super woke, man. They're bisexual.
But yeah, they had the two of them on the phone with him. And she's like, yeah, we both practiced on you or whatever. And he was like, oh, he was getting all hot under the collar.
Oh my God.
I don't believe
anything
you
said.
No way. They show pictures on the wiki of them, their reunion. So that, yeah, it
licking
was
his ears. Yeah.
Damn, Derwin, it's been a long time since you've seen this episode, right? Like, cause there's no
I can picture it though. It's like three black and white photos.
There's no explicit jerking
and
under
they're
the
all talking over each other. It's, you know, it's like a phone call and they're embarrassing him.
Oh, that's funny.
I remember then Robert Stack interrupts and you hear him say, please tell us more. No, not really. He just,
I was like, that'd be the most
had a rod under his coat and wanted to hear more about this big episode under the tree.
That'd be the most unstack thing, because usually he's just talking over people that are like spilling their guts. He's like, yeah, this person.
He couldn't wait to hear more.
No. Yeah. So, all right. So yeah, that's that case.
That's a wrap on that one.
There's no explicit jerking under the tree, but it's heavily implied.
There was a lot of sap to be found under that tree.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was terrible. I just got that. So yeah, long story short.
Yes.
We didn't really like actually say anything about it. So yeah, they became friends. Judy moved, but because of her friendship, that's what made, I'm sorry, not Judy moved. Becky moved. Judy, yeah. Because of Becky's friendship, Judy felt like she would have never been accepted in the school. So yeah. That's
well, not only that, but
she started Becky talking to boys.
Really brought her out of her shell. Like, you know, Becky gave her the encouragement to, you know, to not only just overcome her disabilities, but also to, you know, to engage with people instead of just closing herself into the world.
It's like the scene.
So that's why she felt.
It's like the scene in Fast Time at Ridgemont High where the other girls are the older girls are showing Jennifer Jason Leigh how to give a blowjob by with the banana. It's like that.
It was a banana.
It's like that.
It was very funny though. In all seriousness, though, on that phone Phoebe call Cates? At the end when they were reunited, the one girl said to the other, she was really excited. You could say, I'm happy I found you or whatever. And the other girl's like, yeah, like, thanks for calling. And she goes, yeah, we got to hang out real soon. And the other girl was like, all right, maybe. Like, it was very funny that like one of them wanted to reunite and the other one was just like, all right, can I hang up now? You know, it was ridiculous. Like, she was so happy that she was found. She goes, yeah, maybe we got to check in with my secretary and maybe we can hang out one time. But she was not excited.
Have your people call my people.
Yeah. Get in touch with my peeps.
God. Imagine she grows up and she's just like, she just hates handicapped people. She's like, why was I nice?
That would be a twist.
Why was I nice to them?
Now that's an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Have you seen the trailer for that new movie where the little kid wanders off into the beach and then comes back as an adult and he's like, Mom? That's the new M. Night Shyamalan.
No, I have no idea what that is, but that was a good synopsis.
It's the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's called Old. It sounds like...
I don't even know if you're being serious, but I believe it.
I'm being serious. Missing Persons is the next case. We're going to be talking...
And with that?
We're going to be talking about Gordon Collins... Are you going to do the whole episode with this?
No. I was going to say I'm dipping out there.
Oh yeah, you don't want to talk about good old Gordy with us?
No, I don't.
Not at all. Bye, Dan. Have fun in Tampa.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. Have a good night, guys.
Hey, go find Tom Brady and kick him in the nuts for me.
All right.
He sounds like Becky. Okay. Sounds good. Have your people get in touch with my people.
Right, that's how it felt. It felt really like, anyway, so yeah, this missing persons case is real crazy. Everybody around the city of Vicente Guerrero in 1991 would see a young American drifter who, like, you know, would just wander around. And the parents of Gordon Collins think that this might be their son.
It looks like he just cut a mop off. Just
put it on Dude, his head. The wig is so fucking bad. Yeah. It's like, at least get a blonde guy if you're going to give him a long blonde hair. You know, like
yeah.
The guy. Yeah. It looks so fake. So April 19th of 1991, this dude Gordon sets off on a vacation with his girlfriend, Anastasia Seals. They were vacationing on the Baja coast. Them and another couple rented a boat and they headed out to, you know, hang out and party and stuff, I guess. And then a fisherman was like, no bueno.
No bueno.
And, was warning them of a storm.
Danger, danger.
Yeah. Vengala. Did I say that right?
I don't remember what he says. I just know that he says danger.
He says, don't go.
Yeah. And they're like, screw you, old man. Like,
What do you know? We're Americans. We know better than you.
Yeah. And the guy, well, in the reenactment,
business, bro.
In the reenactment, the guy's like, no, oh, like shaking his hands. Like,
oh, yeah, like, yeah. Oh, he says, bad weather, bad weather.
Dude, if a guy, if somebody was doing that to me while I was going the opposite way, I'd be like, oh, he seems real worried.
Think about it yourself. Like, would you actually not get on that boat if you and your friends are about to take off and he's like, bad weather? Would you listen or you like cancel your whole fucking plan for this one dude in a tank top?
I don't know. That guy's full of shit. It's fine. Look, it's beautiful weather.
Fuck
it's,
this guy. Yeah. It's
fine. So they rented a boat. Yeah. Wait, okay, wait.
But apparently it was not.
It was not fine.
No, the guy in the shirt was right.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck. And of course they never returned, because it's Unsolved Mysteries, guys. The next day, one of the hotel employees, fucking sped out like 28 miles looking for them. And then he found, the boat that was turned over and two bodies, right? And the bodies were of Wayne Schwartz, which was Gordon's friend and the guy who was good with boats and stuff. And, his girlfriend, Anastasia, was dead also. Mm-hmm.
So there was two people missing.
Yeah, which is weird because then they just only talk about him. So the other two were missing. And the jackets were missing too. All the other stuff in the boat was accounted for. The Americans came over and searched for 3 days. And then it was called off because they didn't have any more, nothing to go on, no evidence. So he was presumed dead. But then just after that, everyone starts, you know, there's reports of him everywhere. You know, everyone sees this white drifter with a scraggly blonde hair walking around.
Not a wig.
Yeah, not a wig. A totally and real
I,
hair.
I guess the
regular
only reason,
human hair.
I guess the only reason, right, like why this is even a story is because of the sightings. Otherwise, he would have just gone presumed dead, just like a friend.
Yeah, and there's like, I don't know, some people think that they could have just been all white people look-a-liking, you know, like, oh, maybe it's him. But
that's just Matthew McConaughey. He's on vacation.
Yeah, but then there's the guy later.
It's Matthew McConaughey, Matt Wilson, not Matt Wilson. I fucked it up. Who cares? I was going to say Luke Wilson.
Oh, yeah, Owen Wilson.
Who's the other? Who's the one with the nose?
Owen Wilson. Yeah. We just talked to
Owen Wilson.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Owen Wilson all the time?
We were talking Owen Wilson because the last case reminded us of Behind Enemy Lines starring Owen Wilson. So we kept – in the last episode, we said, wow, a lot.
Hey, I don't even know how I got here.
Wow, I don't know. My wife's looking
I'm just trying to get back to America so I can hang out with my big giant friend and go crash weddings and hook up with Rachel McAdams. That's all I really want to do.
Wow.
Is that so wrong?
I met a nice girl from Laos. Wow. God. yeah. So the parents go down there when all these reports start coming up. They go to the Santa Rosalia area and they start looking around for this dude. Once they're giving out, flyers and posting shit everywhere, and I like the way he says two Mexican fishermen came up. It's like, it's pretty redundant, bro. You're in Mexico.
You are in Mexico.
It'd be weird if two white fishermen came up. Two fishermen came up.
I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. You're like, something's fishy here. Two European fishermen.
Something's fishy. Great pun.
Both wearing lederhosen came up.
Oh my God, you scared me.
So the two fishermen, ran up to the dad showing him the flyer and they said they'd seen him. They saw him come out of the water and get on a bus essentially, right? Is that what
from the water straight onto the bus?
Is that the way they say it?
That would be really
funny. He emerged just like a swamp thing and then just like walked right into the open bus. Like,
yeah. Just goes into a Denny's.
Did you guys see that swamp thing, man, with the bad wind?
He didn't just dry off. That bus? No towel. Just right in.
The reenactment, yeah, they show him getting on the bus with no shoes.
he should not have been allowed on that bus.
No, he shouldn't.
A mile and a half offshore.
Put a fucking shirt on, sir.
The bus was apparently just a mile and a half offshore, so they thought it was really close. And, you know,
the bus pulled up on the sand. Get in.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. People wash up here every day. Jose Peralta was the fisherman who said that Gordy came up to him and asked him if he could have his blanket because he was waiting for his friends who were fishing and he was going to sleep on the beach to wait for them, which is real creepy, man. It's like he was like in like massive denial.
Yeah, that like
his
gone.
That his friends were dead. Yeah, it's weird, man. That's the weirdest. I think that's the weirdest detail of this whole story.
And it's all. I mean, this all hinges on whether or not he actually had amnesia, right? Like that's the overall tone of this segment. is he fucking lying?
Yeah,
or is he pretending? Like I think my friends are alive. Or but if it's sincere, then sure, it's creepy. It's everything.
It is creepy. Yeah,
but he's just like David, I fucking killed them all.
Didn't you say? David, didn't you say that a bunch, too many people in the 90s had amnesia?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, there's a lot of amnesia in the 90s. I don't see that now. And I feel like I watch 2020 every now and then, you know?
It's almost like I feel like the same thing. A friend of mine brought it up recently where it's like, oh, we used to have all these UFO sightings in the 70s, 80s, and 90s with all these crazy cameras and like weird VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And now everyone has a fucking phone and you don't see anything.
Well, there's some. There's some crazy stuff.
You know what I mean? Like for the most part, you're not getting the same like UFO crazy shit. No. Everyone's got 4K phones,
right?
Fucking cameras.
Well, there's a lot of those weird cube things, but I feel like that's easily CGI likeable, you know? Like
I think that's a filter on TikTok now.
You're probably right. His parents like did the shit over and over. Like they would go back home, then there'd be more reports, and they'd go back and forth like multiple times.
Yeah, but they would show his picture, and everybody said that it's undeniably him. I know that's the same.
Yeah, undeniably. So when they go the second time, they're like in this area, and these people, these like villagers, say that they just saw this man an hour ago. So they point in a direction. So they drive a little bit up the street. And these people are like, I saw him 30 minutes ago. And then they drive up the street and this other guy tells them that they just saw him 5 minutes ago. And then at that point, like he said that everybody like went stone silent and stopped answering their questions. He was thinking that he might,
frustrating.
Yeah, he was thinking that he might've spooked them, that they might've thought that he was the police and maybe they should be protecting him. And it seems like maybe they were protecting him. Maybe he hated his life. It just sucks that he had like a little boy. He just let like, yeah. I don't know, these guys just fucking leave. And, but didn't we do another amnesia case recently where the mom that was just like in Dallas and she didn't even know she had a kid. Like she found the pictures of her kids and she was like, who are these?
And she's like, what? Yeah.
So
liar.
Weird. I wonder if she stole some seafood
from a truck. She was at Sizzler and didn't want to pay the bill.
It's weird because she's here.
Okay. And they're not thinking that he's trying to disappear. A lot of people think maybe he was, you know, gone on purpose. But he called the way they back that up is they say that he called his parents the day he left Mexico, but that was before he fucking murdered all of his friends. Just a theory.
This is just a working theory.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't even think about that.
I hate my friends, so I'm going to kill them.
Going to kill all of
them. In Mexico.
So amnesia.
And then get on the bus wet.
We already talked about the amnesia possibility. But it's not even going to mention that. So after going back and forth, they couldn't do it anymore. They were losing money, so they hired a PI who was familiar with – I don't know if he's familiar with the people, but – at least he could speak Spanish and stuff, you know, he could get in and, people would be more willing to talk to him. I fucking forgot his name. I didn't write his name down.
Gordon.
No, not Gordy. I call him Gordy because we're friends. But he was able to find out that he was arrested, not for seafood, but, for trying to steal food when he was already, on the lam, and, they put him in a jail. So they called over the local like white guy so he could translate
the translate local the whiteness. White guy.
Yeah. And this guy, plays himself in the reenactment and it's bad.
I love that he can't even play himself.
Yeah. No. Get one job.
That's how bad you are. Just be you for a segment, please.
He said his name was Gordy. He gave the nickname and This dude swears that it was him. He's like, I saw, you know, we had the picture. It's unmistakable. So I don't know. Some people think that this fucker just died and drowned. But I think I screenshotted some outlandish theory that I found. You guys want to hear it?
Yes,
sure. I love the, I do love the fact though that every one of these guys or people who end up with amnesia, that by the end they're always like, "All right, we found out who you are. Turn around, put your hands on the wall. You're under arrest for stealing."
You're under arrest.
You're always just fucking caught. Like the other guy a couple episodes back or last season when he stole a truck full of fucking beans or lettuce.
It was the seafood guy. Yeah, the
wheeler was found in the lake. Oh, yeah, that's who you're talking about. Seafood guy.
Well,
yeah.
What about the
French Canadian? The guy cried. He hugged his mother awkwardly.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pierre.
That was very 90s. He had aviator glasses and no sideburns. It's very 90s. And he was full of shit.
The guy that was like, he had a heavy French accent, right? French accent?
That was Pierre. Yeah. Was his name Pierre?
That was
the French Canadian guy. But the seafood guy was the one who I think was just completely a fucking liar. I don't know.
The guy with the glasses and he like hugged his mother awkwardly. Yeah. It's your mom, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking liar.
He made such a crazy face when his parents contacted him. I was like, oh, you got caught in your bullshit, didn't you?
I don't remember you. Did you see that video? Oh, yeah. He stood there. I don't remember you.
Yeah.
Just, she like hugged him in the precinct and he had his hands in his pockets and like she put her arm. It was fucking made me so uncomfortable.
Did you see that video?
So uncomfortable.
That news segment of that little boy. Well, he's not a little. I say he's a little boy. He's a like he was. I think he's a teenager and he had just gotten a new car. And it shows the car had crashed into a home a few blocks from his house. And the police are there and they're like, you know, covering the segment about how the car just ended up there and how he was randomly in the morning just walking by and saw his own car. He's all, somebody stole my car. It doesn't even have insurance. I don't know who could have done it. They could have really hurt somebody. Like, you know damn well you crashed the car at night.
You know who the fuck that was?
Went home.
And just walked down the street like, huh?
Huh? Oh, there it is.
Why did he call hilarious. It was like
reported stolen or anything.
That's so funny.
I love it.
So I found a little thing on Reddit. I don't know what the source is, but 4 years ago, the Negotiator 12 said, I'm just going to read the whole thing. Okay. Now I'm not sure if this is true, but I remember reading a few years ago when the family was on his trail, they did in fact made contact with him, but never told Unsolved Mysteries. Apparently Gordon was having an affair with Aline, who was the other girl, and it was found out on the trip or something like that. And things might have gone south, but then they got hit by the storm, and apparently Gordon and Arlene survived and wanted to start a new life in Mexico, but that didn't go so well. In parentheses, we don't know the details. The family is now just going along and acting like they're looking for him when they really just de-owned him. This person sucks at writing, but anyway. To me.
So Gordon Collins was the storm, yeah.
To me, two O's, if he is still or did survive that night, I have a feeling we won't know the full story. A white male in Mexico who only speaks English, even if he had amnesia, would of had at one point ran into some English-speaking people. The part of Mexico he crashed in is popular resort area for college students. At some point, he would have ran into someone to get some help, but there could be another side. He ran into a problem with the police, and they handed him off to a drug cartel, like a lot of homeless do, to be slaves to them. Or so I read.
Jesus Christ.
God, it's the crate. That was
very believable source, first of all.
There was no periods. That was an insane run-on sentence.
Anybody who does run-on sentences should be shot, first of all.
So the first, I mean, the first thing, the thing I wanted to talk about was not the whole slave thing, but the thing that he might have murdered and or been part of it, I think is a fun theory. I mean, there's no credence to this shit 4 years ago on fucking Reddit, but you know, it's something to talk about. The U.S. consulate declared him. They
killed him.
Well, they removed the presumed dead. So, I mean, that's it. And his dad, there's a Facebook group. His dad is still looking for him. His mom is dead, but his dad is still looking for him.
No dice.
Yeah. I was really surprised that this one went unsolved just because of how close they got.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't him, you know, even if they could prove that it wasn't him or whatever.
Yeah, who's the guy? Who's the guy that's been wandering around Mexico with the bad wig?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Dave, he is not presumed dead by the U.S. consulate? Yeah,
they changed it because...
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's like the the end of this case. And yeah, like I said, the only thing I could... It's hard to find stuff on him. Because, you know, there's a Facebook post and there was a guy... missing in Mexico. The Facebook group had like a guy that was missing in Mexico that didn't remember anything and he had a black eye, but he was way too young because this was like, you know,
what was his name?
He didn't know. I fell right into that.
Your own name.
He didn't know.
He didn't know.
No, say, I don't know. But he was really young. He looked like he was in his late 30s. Like, you know, he was like a youngish man with gray hair. And Gordy by this time would be like, I don't know, man. He would be like in his 60s probably, right? Because he wasn't that young.
He'd be 64.
Really?
Yep. He just celebrated his 64th birthday in February 22nd. If he was still
alive. Well, whether or not he celebrated is a debate.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. If he's still alive, then he would have. and he probably doesn't even know when. Yeah, he probably doesn't. Even if he is around, he probably doesn't even know his own birthday. So there's no celebrating going on.
Yeah, there's no celebration.
Year around the sun.
Oh, God.
Just another day.
All right. So the last case is about Elizabeth and her milkshake.
And this one did not bring the boys to the yard.
That's the title, I think. Yeah.
Wait, was that her, Wait, was her name Elizabeth?
Are you doing the update on the rapist?
Elizabeth.
Or was that later?
Yeah. There's an update about Mac McDonald, who we're supposed to feel bad for.
I forgot why he raped. Please remind me.
He's a Sagittarius raper.
Is he the motorcycle guy that kept leaving? The mother kept chasing him around?
Yeah, basically.
Was he on a motorcycle? Right?
Like the mother kept showing up at the apartment. And he's like, my mom's coming. And he like took off on his bike.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
That's him. That's the one.
But she had like he showed up at the apartment and the mother was holding the kid and he got fucking freaked out.
Yeah.
As if he didn't freak out, what the fuck, man? MacDonald.
They had a baby.
MacDonald.
And she had a baby. She was illegal and they got a place together.
And a teenage illegal daughter or a teenage illegal.
Everybody thought they were married in a couple. And then they got word that the parents were coming and he just fucking left. And at one point he comes back and realizes that he has a kid.
Panic.
So he didn't have a kid at that time. He was just living with her. And then he realized he had a kid when he came back for a second. And then he reunites with his daughter and his daughter is not impressed. Her face. Yeah, it's just like
I think it's those glasses.
Yeah.
She's like, well, he left my mom.
This guy fucking I have to live with that. This guy sucks. I don't feel bad for him. Like,
didn't he run into like the mother at a fucking roller skate drive-in or some restaurant?
He was having sex with a teenager, you know.
It's all coming back to me.
And it's like if they were really in love, then he could have like waited a year, you know, or something. It's just like it's hard to feel bad for him. He just completely ditched this girl left her with a kid.
He's got like that nice old man look though. I remember seeing him later on. He was like,
he does.
He looks like the kind of guy that could tell you things are going to be okay, even though for him, they are not.
You know, that just proves a point.
I want to hear this point.
That a rapist could look like anybody.
Exactly. Because he kind of, you know who he looks like? He kind of looks like the guy who gives Kevin McAllister the two turtle doves in Home Alone 2?
Two turtle doves.
You said a guy? I thought, that's the guy Duncan's toy chest.
Yeah, the Duncan toy chest guy. He looks like that.
That guy definitely touched kids.
Diddled. He diddled kids.
He tussled their hair and then touched the hair on their head.
Why is that worse?
God. What, a hair tussle? Yeah, no one wants that. I don't want that from someone I love.
Oh, no, Duncan?
Just for the record, that toy store looks like it sucks because it's like there's no video games. It's just all like 50s toys.
It's all shit that's sharp. It looks cool, but nothing looks like you could actually pick it up and play with it.
No, I was thinking of the first old man in the first movie. The South Bend shovel slayer.
Yeah.
The shovel hitter.
See, I think that's the one thing that Home Alone gets wrong is like, every freaky person that you're scared of on the street is actually a very sweet person.
Don't teach that to children.
Yeah, I think that's bad. That's every creep that you're definitely afraid of is probably really sweet and lives above a church and or goes to church because wants to see their strange granddaughter. What's up? Yeah, it's like, I don't know. There's too much church.
That was that Christopher Columbus that did that?
Yeah, yes. Chris Columbus. Let's not get him mixed up with that fucking rapist, murderer.
Colonizer.
Colonizing.
The guy loved places that weren't his.
Don't get me started on Christopher Columbus.
I'll just take it.
Oh, man.
Well, this is mine now. I've planted my flag and buried my seed.
It's like, oh, we brought...
Sounds like Duncan.
We brought so much disease. We just got to get all this disease off of the boat. Oh, my gosh. We've been just floating around with all this disease. You guys want some? God, we used to make little hats in school.
No vaccine for that.
We used to make little hats in school. They would tell us. They would sing songs about the stupid boats. People already live there. He didn't discover anything.
The best part about Christopher Columbus is that my job still gives me off for that holiday, so I will always cherish the man from that angle.
Yeah. Well, now a lot of people have reclaimed it as like Native American Heritage Day and stuff like that, which I think is...
Anti-Christopher Columbus Day. Hey, you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm all in.
Yeah. Or something like that. I probably didn't get the name of that right, but yeah. Reclaim that shit. That reminds me of the day Proud Boys was trending with just pictures of gay men kissing.
Oh, they took over the hashtag, right?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. George Takei just like tweeted it out.
I thought it was Takei. Isn't his name Takei?
Yeah, whatever.
I think it's Takei.
So the last case is the case of what Sulu's, how to pronounce Sulu's actual name. So the last case is a wanted case, and this case is fucking crazy, guys. Let's fucking jump into it.
It's called Milkshake, the case.
Dude, yeah.
I remember this segment. I don't remember the other ones. I remember this one, and I don't know why, but it's
burned. Like from when you were young?
Either when I was young, or I happened to see this clip somewhere, but I just remember it so vividly.
This shit is so weird.
Speaking of Duncan Toy Chest, this guy worked at a toy store.
Yeah, weird. I have a crazy update for this.
Did they sell children?
I have a crazy update for this story. It's really weird. So let's
I can't wait.
So let's get into it. So March 11th, 92, we're going to Redwood City, California. The toy store that Gilbert Ortiz worked at.
A subsidiary of Duncan's Toy Chest.
Duncan's West.
Duncan's West.
Duncan's West. He's like, medics respond because he's fucking dying pretty much.
An OD of amino acids.
Yeah, apparently he was taking an amino acid protein shake that was supposed to help him bulk up because he was a real skinny guy. And his wife liked the big guys. And
give him some muscles.
The big ones.
It's weird.
The ones that are swole. She liked gorillas.
She liked swole fools. And the wife was immediately acting fucking weird. They called her up. The acting is, yeah, like we said earlier, the acting is
top notch. Suburb.
It's or next.
Suburb.
It's fucking next level.
I'm surprised this one didn't win any Emmys.
Fuck the, what is it? The contest? Fuck the contest.
Fuck the contest.
So by 10 p.m. that night, he has pneumonia and kidney failure. Nothing good is happening. Apparently, before that, sometime in the afternoon, the bottle that had the shake, because when he gets when the ambulance comes, he tells them that he was drinking the shake, and they're like, "When did you have this?" So they wanted to like get it tested, but apparently, sometime that afternoon, it goes missing.
Dun dun dun!
I love how it just had like 3 year old like little footballs and golf clubs on it, like the most goofy looking fucking thermos I've probably ever seen.
Yeah, it was so bright and like. Colorful.
I mean, Robert Stack had it too because they got the Unsolved Mysteries one. So he's like, a thermos similar to this one. And he's like holding it with his suit on.
He's like, I got to get my hands on it. So a little bit about their.
I want that.
Their marriage. 1987.
Yeah.
1987, he was an army boy. He marries Elizabeth Fuentes.
Army boy.
He gets a job at a toy store, But the marriage isn't perfect. You know, they have arguments about money and stuff.
And you're like, she's like, I don't want you working for that rapist, Duncan. And he's like, I got to work, honey. We got a family. I'm thirsty, really thirsty. Give me a big thermos for work.
That's give me the a conversation. Protein shake.
I need some amino acids.
And she was like, he can't keep paying you in turtle doves.
enough with the turtle doves, Gabriel. We have thousands. Look at our fucking Christmas tree.
We have so many turtle doves.
He's been paying you in hugs.
So in 1992, things start to improve because he gets a promotion. But then also that same year, he gets fucking poisoned by his wife. Spoiler alert. Sorry. It's fine.
It's poison. Yeah. Spoiler. I would love to think that the acting was the weird part, but in real life, she was cool as a cucumber. That would be nice to know. that was the reality. She could lie straight faced. You believe her?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. I'm wondering how they prepared for this episode.
Was she really that bad? Like, was that like well done? Was that accurate?
It seems like nobody believed a fucking thing she said from the way they're telling the story.
Absolutely not.
I did not.
So at some point during the day in question, she gets a call to the hospital. And after she gets off that phone call, the sister, Gabriel's sister, right? Or Gilbert, the husband's sister,
Gilbert Ortiz. Yeah.
Gilbert's sister is like noticing how weird she's acting after she gets off this call. And then she mentioned something about going to Gilbert's work to look in his locker and see if maybe he swallowed something or if she could find out anything.
And because she was, 10 years old, they never saw her again.
Because she was a 10-year-old going to the toy store.
Oh.
So why did she go to the toy store?
Screw Pizzagate, man. Duncan, we're starting a whole crazy like conspiracy
Home Alone 2. QAnon, a Duncan's West.
Home Alone 2 is way more darker than you think. 10 Reasons Why.
Yes.
BuzzFeed article. So
Pizzagate.
So the wife gets super weird after going to Duncan's. No, I'm just kidding.
She went to the toy store.
So she says she's also going to go check on her son, Jonathan, who they thought the mom was taking care of. Her mom was taking care of. And then like a little while later, like an hour later, she comes back in yelling, talking about some.
Oh, that's my favorite scene. I love that.
Oh, dude, it's so cringy. She's talking about.
My question is, why did she leave? What did she go do? What did she.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
They got Jonathan.
Yeah. She's talking about a man who threatened to
take. In a parking lot.
The man threatened to take her son, but she comes in without a son. And it's like, well, what do you mean? What are you doing? Like, does he have him or not? It's really fucking confusing.
And that nurse, like the nurse in the reenactment, it's perfect. She goes, "What man?"
Yeah,
and she's like, "I don't know. The guy back there, he's got a mask on.
I'm out acting."
And the other woman is like, "Who are you talking about? There's nobody out there. I swear, he's got Jonathan."
And Gilbert's sister is like, "What? No
bullshit." Yeah,
she's like, "Jonathan is with your mom." And then after she starts spewing this bullshit, she's like, "I'm gonna go call the mom." And she goes and calls Elizabeth's mom, and she's like, "Yeah, Jonathan's right here, chill." And the nurse,
if I remember correctly, goes to call the poison hotline.
Yeah, she's like, "I'm gonna call the police," and she's like, "No, he's got my son," and she's like, "I'm calling the police."
She's like, "Fuck you, bitch! Yeah. I'm calling the cops."
Yeah.
You lying shithead.
And I forgot that she comes in with the paper bag with the insecticide, and she says that the man said this.
He gave me this.
Yeah, that he drank the wrong stuff. And then the lady's like, "How would he know what he drank? Like, what, you know?" And she doesn't have like.
And then she goes, "Please believe me. None of this is suspicious at all. Please believe me, Jonathan."
She's real stupid. Really. Oh, stupid.
She's real, real dumb.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch that when we're done because I love that scene. It's like a Hamlet to me.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's. I mean, it's acting.
It's acting. If you just end it with acting, yeah, that's it. Not good, not bad. It's acting, right? I'm breathing.
Yeah,
breathing.
Find this girl, the community technically, theater.
Technically, it is acting.
It's acting. She's on IMDb, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So 5 days later, they question her, and the cops do a really smart thing, and they bluff. they pretty much do a bluff and they say that, like, we have a witness and there was no one in the parking lot with you. And they're just, you know, they're convinced that she's lying. So they give it a shot. And then she's like, okay, you know,
I'll tell you what happened.
I lied about that.
Yeah, she really caved quick. She's like, I got to work a point. She goes, I have a job interview in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, okay, well, you're going to take a lie detector. And she's like, I got to go do this. And it's like, okay, we'll come right back here and take the lie detector. And she said, all right.
And she never comes back.
Yeah, she didn't come back. She never returned to the police station.
Did they show that picture of her when she's all dolled up? It's like the high school photo with the lasers.
I think at the end of the segment when they're like, she's still missing, they show a bunch of glamour shots.
They show a couple different
She's got a real ones. Big glamour shot. There's a nice glamour shot.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Some heavy makeup.
She looks all puffed up.
So when she doesn't come in the next day for the lie detector, they track her down to her mom's house and she refuses to go with them. That was around the same time when her husband regained consciousness and told them the story. And what he said is she had called him up. She's like, she wanted to meet for lunch. And she said that she had a coworker that was bulking up by using this protein stuff. And she was going to get some and drop it off to him.
He looks so hot after drinking the shake. Yeah.
So did they have fucking...
He just drank it?
Did they ever
have... It makes his dick grow.
Did they ever have the lunch? Like, I don't know. It's very confusing because she just seems to nonchalantly drop off the poison.
Ruby Tuesdays.
They stopped at Ruby Tuesdays.
She also told him it might taste kind of weird, but that's okay.
It tastes like poison, but just drink it.
He said it was sour and burned his throat. And he drank
like
so
poison.
Fucking much, dude. He drank so much. He's like, this is the way it's supposed to taste. Okay. He said he drank
listen, I'm a fat fuck.
Thing.
When I get a milkshake, I don't drink the whole thing like that. Like, that's a milk. Do you think a protein shake or a milkshake, like, it's kind of the same thing? Take a couple sips. You lick your lips.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. You savor.
Yeah.
You don't chug it in a fucking locker room. You take your time.
It's because he was trying to get swole. He's trying to get swole.
If it's a shake, we're assuming it's cold as fuck, right?
Yeah. Get a little fucking neck burn, a little, ice cream headache.
Not necessarily. Like, you could make a...
It's so cold, but it's burning.
You could make some with... You could put them, like, in a shaker now, like, they have, like, with ice.
Just
like,
yeah, but it's in a thermos. Yeah. So you got to assume that it came out of a fridge. It's keeping it cold.
Yeah.
The guy's going to get fucking head burn, but instead his stomach's on fire because it's fucking poison.
He explains that he's
so good. Just going to keep drinking it up.
Just going to keep drinking it. Let the poison take control. So good.
He explains that he got...
Just burns my lips a bit.
He explains the feeling of getting hot and his throat starting to burn. And then he got really shaky.
That's the amino acids.
And then they called the, ambulance. And then, so after this, they're able to acquire a search warrant for the house that they lived at. And when they show up, she's long gone. And so is their son. So basically at the end of this story, the initial run, she was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he knew she did it.
Missing. That sounds very accidental.
Yeah.
Like she just happens to not be around.
She dipped.
She dipped.
And then there's the talking head where he's like, that's the point where I realized, like, wow, she straight up did this. Like she fucking tried to murder me.
He has that moment of reflection. He goes, I don't care about her, but my kid.
Yeah.
You know.
So he can't even walk by himself anymore. One of his feet is numb. He has serious liver damage.
One of his feet. I like that. That's good. One of his feet.
It technically works, right?
His foot. One foot is numb. I think so, but there's something about it that tickles.
One of
like
his feet.
Like a wet wrestler's hair on your shoulders. It just tickles.
Yeah. Like the cascades over your shoulder. One of his feet. I don't know why that's funny.
It is. It's redundant. It's like. serious liver damage. Serious damage to his liver and nervous system, and he was saying that his
one foot,
his fingertips are numb too. Like it's awful.
Yeah,
that shit really fucked him up.
He had nerve damage.
Yeah.
So she was actually missing for 8 years before. They arrested her and she went to jail for like 25 to life, but she served her time and apparently she's out.
She's out, baby. It's probably like 7 years with good behavior. She served no time.
But the crazy thing is think about it. By that time, the boy's probably like 8 or 9, maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
Did they show the update in this episode of him reuniting with the kid? Because that happens.
No.
No.
They didn't show it.
They did not.
But let me tell you.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, people.
But let me tell you the.
Does David have a.
Oh, dude, I got a.
Ooh,
I got
a doozy. I'm ready.
I got a bomb to drop about.
Can I take a drink break? Is that okay?
Yeah, go get a drink. Yeah, you're good.
I want to go make a new Tito's. All right, sitting down.
I'm going to break open this case for us because Gilbert is portrayed by as a sweet, innocent bystander in this. But what's weird is when you immediately look up this case, this pops up. Son of convicted prisoner admits beating dad.
What?
First of all, this comes from the Daily Journal. So I'm just going to read the article. The article is by...
It's so ridiculous so far that it has to have some credibility.
No, yeah. No, this is real. This is real. There's multiple sources. There's headlines everywhere. So this is real. This isn't some Reddit shit. this is from the...
Oh, it's not that statement from before with all the misspellings?
The run-on sentence.
I like that guy or girl.
So yeah, this is from the Daily Journal. It's written by Michelle Durand, who's on the Daily Journal staff. This happened in 2011, October to be exact. The now grown son of a Redwood City woman who poisoned her husband with an insecticide laced milkshake and kidnapped the boy to Mexico for years is facing incarceration himself after accepting a plea deal for attacking his father last year. So that'd have been 2010. Jonathan Fuentes Ortiz, 21, pled no contest to felony assault and admitted causing great bodily injury. He faces up to 5 years.
Oh, my God.
He faces up to 5 years in prison. And when he's sentenced on November 9th, he could receive as little as probation. Let's see.
He's sentenced to work 5 years at Duncan's Toy Chest.
The district attorney's office dropped another count of assault with a deadly weapon. So, shit. Let's see. The district attorney said, this is a good resolution for the case. This is obviously a young man with a lot of issues to deal with. According to prosecutors, Ortiz blamed his father for his mother's imprisonment, leading to assaults on June 25th and October 17th. Wow. It's like, dude, yeah, she tried to kill me. Sorry, your mom's in prison.
You're the reason mom's in jail. Well, your mom tried to kill me.
Yeah.
You should have seen the size of the poison shake she gave me.
She drank really fast.
So much.
But, Dad, you didn't have to drink it that quick. It's supposed to be a slow-moving poison if you weren't so thirsty.
You're supposed to save her, Dad. Save her.
If you weren't so goddamn thirsty, you'd be dead right now. And mom would be with me.
It's a brain freeze-free shake, Dad. Only if you drink it slow.
So Ortiz said. So Ortiz was just 2 years old in 1992 when she did the chocolate milkshake mixed with bug killer, and then fled to her native.
I hope that's what it was called.
That's the way they explained it in this. Yeah,
bug killer.
So so a little more details. She's located in 2000. On attempt and charged with the attempted murder. And her son actually remained missing for a little bit longer until she brought the kid to see her mom in prison. And a deputy connected the child to an age enhanced drawing of the boy. So he was reunited.
Whoa, wow, really? Worked.
Yeah. So he was reunited with his father, Gilbert Ortiz. And he's
the one. Beat the shit out of him, caused bodily harm. On the external bodily harm, while the mother caused internal bodily harm. This guy just can't get a fucking break.
I know, so he was 20.
His family just fucking him up. Elizabeth Fuentes was actually only sentenced to 13 years. 13 to life, whatever. That seems like weird. That doesn't roll off the tongue.
She probably got less.
Well, it says that she was given a life sentence plus 6 years for child abduction and bodily harm. But she appealed in 2004. But obviously that was denied. And then again in 2010 and again in 2014. And then surprisingly after that, she was released from prison. So so apparently the thing with Jonathan happened over two instances, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That, I think.
Father and son were living together in Redwood City. with other residents. And the two occasions the young man beat his father and screamed at him about what he had done to his mother. The first time he put a knife to his father's chest and later took him to the hospital where the man told doctors he had been robbed at knife point. So he kept protecting his kid. The second time the man reportedly told staff he was beaten during a robbery. And the family members eventually contacted the detective who investigated the milkshake poisoning in 1992.
Wow.
Somebody in his family keeps sending him to the hospital. There's a man in a parking lot with a knife. With a mask.
They say even though he was the victim, he was initially trying to protect his son by claiming injuries, you know, from other circumstances, like we said.
Fuck that. Cut the cord.
The DA said again, the case goes to show you that when you have violence in the home, it's what all the studies show that's what the child learns, Wagstaff said.
Sure.
Elizabeth Fuentes Ortiz, now 40, claimed self-defense in her 2002 trial on the murder charges. She told the court that by poisoning her husband, she meant only to incapacitate him. And not kill him so she could escape an abusive marriage that included sexual abuse.
Duncan Toychess comes home.
Wow. Full circle.
Two ends of time are neatly tied.
Prosecutors argued that.
Let's put a bow on this.
That the murder attempt was fueled by jealousy because of his long work hours at the toy store.
At the toy store. I'm too busy working at toy store.
They say he worked in the dungeon section of the.
So at this time, she was still in jail. Fuck, it's so fucked up, dude.
I worked in a toy store for 1 month, and I will not tell you what happens. Toys R Us.
So she's since been released. The son has also since been released. He was charged in 2000.
But Gilbert's body has not been released.
He was charged in 2011. Suffering. Yeah, I know, right? Poor bastard. He pleaded no contest to the charges, and he was sentenced to 4 years in prison.
Do you think Gilbert was actually a bad dude? I mean, he looks like he could barely. I mean, he was so skinny. I don't think he could. I don't know.
I don't know. Look what I said before about MacDonald.
Yeah,
so he looked like a nice guy.
Nice guy.
Yeah. So it's confusing.
Always the nice ones.
I want him to give me a hair tussle.
Don't judge a book by his cover.
By the time he's reunited with his dad, he's probably like 12 or something, you know, like because I didn't know that there was time between her getting arrested and them discovering the kid.
They said she went to Mexico for 8 years, right? She said.
So this kid was probably so conditioned to hate his dad and believe, you know, everything she said.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she definitely fed him fucking poison mind control. Gilbert got the real poison, and the son got the verbal poison.
Yeah, just planting hate for the dad like his whole life, I'm sure.
I know about that in real life, dude. I'm sure we all know people who, you know, fucking or give kids bad information and, you know, talk shit about the other parents.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Sure, we all know people like that. Yeah.
But then being taken away from your grandma who you live with and then taken to this dad who apparently is an evil monster who can barely walk.
He can't drink slow either.
Yeah.
Monster.
He obviously.
Isn't that weird how women, though, always.
He obviously has an aversion to brain freeze.
That's their MO, is they go to poisoning.
It's always just been. It's not even like a sexist thing because it's arguing about killing somebody shouldn't be something that's on the forefront. But they say poison is a women's tool.
Statistic. I guess because brute force, like they can't really. Strength, it makes more sense. It's like coming at it.
Even in a Song of Ice and Fire, they say poison. It couldn't have been Tyrion because it's a woman's tool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He couldn't have killed that little annoying child.
Poison the fucking king, yeah. He couldn't have because it's a woman's drug.
Yeah, men are more shitty about it. You know, they would just, you know, they'll push the fucking poor lady down the stairs and fucking...
They'll just abuse you mentally until you kill yourself.
Yeah.
She fell.
But who knows? I don't know. So that really opens up this case and makes you think, damn, maybe we didn't get the whole truthful bit from Unsolved Mysteries because this guy might have
he might have been a
deserved
really
a poisoning,
person.
Maybe? I mean, I don't know if I want to go that far, but Who knows?
I wish Unsolved Mysteries opened up the toy chest of his soul so we could see what's going on in there.
Gilbert's toy chest.
I don't know. It's crazy that we got to Duncan's toy chest from the
Serape. It's funny that it should have been
Gilbert's
toy chest. Tito's is going down good.
Oh my gosh. This fucking, yeah. So this is an episode. Damn.
It sure is.
That,
like, just like acting. This is an episode. You can't deny that.
This is an episode.
This is definitely an episode. No, this was actually a really a fun one because there was a lot of different stuff.
I really apologize for not watching the right one.
Oh no. I mean, fine.
You, like, it's funny because you still pointed something out that I didn't write in my notes. It's like, oh yeah, that did happen. You're right.
Some of the magic is in there, but I wish I actually watched it so I can get more notes. But whatever. This is a blip, and I will return in full form.
This was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us, Dan, and being our substitute Dan, sort of, because we had Dan for the
No, we had case. Two Dans tonight.
Yeah, we did have two Dans for a little bit.
Yeah,
and it is always fun to have you on. It's always good for a nice little change up.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, for real.
Damn. What else? Oh, man, the Unsolved Mysteries podcast. I did a little binge today. Holy shit.
I did too. I listened to the whole thing.
Oh, I have not listened yet.
Dude, I listened to the whole thing.
There's a good mix of, like, you know, alien ghost and just your good old fashioned, you know,
crime,
missing person murder. Like, oh man, I'm really enjoying it. And I think you'll appreciate it too, Derwin, because it's way more like,
oh, they're short and sweet.
They're short and sweet.
They're pretty short.
And
I like short podcasts. Like anything that's like an hour or so is, and like an hour or less.
Yeah, these are
overwhelmed when I see in that podcast is 2.5 hours ago. Oh, man, it's a lot.
It's
to chew.
It's so good.
Some of them are like 25 minutes. Some of them are like 40, but not like under an hour.
I'd like it to be a little longer. I find myself enjoying it and getting into it. And I'm like, oh, I wish there was more. The last case was broken up into two segments.
It's way more like the classic Unsolved Mysteries show than the new show is. Not saying anything bad about the new not talking shit about the new show, because I love it. But it's, you know, the narrator's great and the music, and it's presented way more like the original show, which is fun. And I feel like the music is even a little more retro and a little more 90s.
It is.
It's cool.
It's good quality. The interviews that they do are good.
Yeah. The first one, they like start off with a ghost story, and then this alien one is fucking wild, man. The two-part.
Yeah, this last one that they just covered. One and two.
Emotions.
That emotions. Guy.
How many episodes are up at the moment?
I think there's
5 or 6.
Yeah, I want to say 6 because.
Oh, that many. Good.
Because 5 is a two-parter. So, yeah. It's good stuff. Thanks so much to Dan Derwin for joining us.
No problem. Had a great time.
And Eli as well. Eli's at Big Bad Vinyl Dad. I'm at Davey Howe, DAVYHOW. You want to give your handle?
Yeah, I'm at Coat Jones, CoatJones, on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can see all of the cool punk rock shenanigans that Derwin's up to. And
we just need shows to come back. That's
it. Oh, dude. So you've always been in a band, right?
Yes.
That's cool. I miss being in bands. I haven't been in bands for like 6-7 years.
I'm in a band, but it's a bunch of older guys. You know, we're all slow and take our time with things, so things don't move as fast. We have one recorded EP from 6 years ago, and we're in the middle of recording one now, and it's taking forever, so things take slow, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's cool. If I got back into a band, it would be more of like I'm not going to fucking try to buy a van and go around the country. Like, this is just a little thing that I do for fun.
Say so. Play a local. Yeah. Especially in New York. There's a lot of different places to play.
That must be awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us. For every mystery, there's someone somewhere who knows the truth. And perhaps that someone is listening. And perhaps that someone is you. How come the Unsolved Mysteries podcast doesn't end with that? They should.
It should.
Maybe they're like, we don't want to rip off the Stack Pack. Ripping off Robert Stack.
Yeah.
Ripping off.
They definitely know.